This time we're going to talk about the third, fourth, and fifth Lok Sabha elections. Now, when it came to the third Lok Sabha election, by this time, Goa had been liberated and the government had taken an in-principle decision to create the state of Nagaland. But as in the case of Lakshadweep and Andaman and Nicobar Islands, the representatives from Nagaland were not elected but nominated. The nominee from the Northeast Frontier Agency was Deing Ering, whose report on participatory democracy actually laid the foundation for the 73rd and the 74th constitutional amendments. And this Lok Sabha, that is the third Lok Sabha, had a record number of 14 nominated members. And this time there were some nominated members from the Rajya Sabha as well, because they had been appointed to work jointly with the Committee on Public Accounts of the Lok Sabha. Now, the third elections were conducted by KVK Sundaram, who was our longest serving Chief Election Commissioner because Mr. Sukumar Sen had retired in 58. And KVK Sundaram was also a member of the Indian Civil Services and was a person who was known to have a very juristic bent of mind. And he went on to head the Fifth Law Commission after his term as the head of the Election Commission came to an end in September 67. Now, we were talking about the third Lok Sabha election, which was held between 19th to 25th February 1962. And this was a few months before the Chinese aggression. And therefore, the Congress was able to retain power without a major contest, although the vote share had come down marginally. This was Nehru's third landslide victory. He received 44.7% of the vote and he got 361 seats of the 494 members in the Lok Sabha. And this was only slightly lower than the tally in the previous elections. But significant features of this election are, one, the Communist Party gaining in vote share and taking 29 seats, and the Bharatiya Jansangh also touching a double figure with 14 members in the Lok Sabha. Therefore, the opposition started getting consolidated. Now, this was the time when the elections were taking place as per the formation of new states, as per the recommendations of the State's Reorganization Commission and the 1960 division of reorganizing the Bombay state into the states of Maharashtra and Gujarat. Now, the 1956 SRC had not accepted the demand for Haryana, but a political party called the Haryana Lok Samiti came up and they set up a candidate called Jagdev Singh in the Chacher constituency, who won the seat from the Congress and was a very clear indication that the reorganization of Punjab is also on the cards. Now, till the third elections, the role of independents was very significant. And in fact, one must mention that the highest number of independents was in the second Lok Sabha with a vote share of 19.32%. In the third Lok Sabha election, that came down to 20. It again went up to 35 in the 1962 elections because there were many splits in the Congress, the Socialists, and the Communists. But after 1967, the share of independents in Indian polity has gone down. Their popular vote is now varying between 7 to 10%. And the decline is so pronounced that in its 255th report, the Law Commission said that do not let independent candidates contest the Lok Sabha elections. I mean, they didn't say that for assembly elections, but they did say that these candidates are not serious and they actually vitiate the electoral process because, you know, when you have multiplicity of candidates, then there are a lot of logistics issues that come up, but there is no consensus on whether independent candidates should be allowed to contest or not. I must place on record that the outgoing 17th Lok Sabha has only five independent candidates. And these candidates are also aligned to one party or the other. Now, back to the fourth general elections, which were held between 17th to 21st February of 61. Now, by this time, the number of MPs, elected MPs in the Lok Sabha has gone up to 523, of whom 520 have to be elected. This was also the year when elections were conducted to the parliament for the first time from the state of Jammu and Kashmir, and also from Lakshadweep and Andaman Nicobar Islands. Therefore, the only nominated candidates were the two Anglo-Indian candidates and one from NEFA. Now, 67 also, Indira Gandhi was leading the Congress party and it was able to win the elections, but the margins had been significantly reduced. The pro-right Swatantra party and the Bharatiya Jansang, they got 44 and 35 seats respectively, while the CPI and the CPM got 23 and 19 seats. Now, the socialists also got 23 seats, thereby meaning that the left-aligned or the left-leaning parties had a strength of 65. But because the left and the right were poles apart ideologically, there was no real threat to the centrist Congress, which adopted such populist measures like the abolition of privy purses for the erstwhile rulers of princely states, the nationalization of banks, distribution of plots, etc. And Mrs. Gandhi came out with the slogan of Garibi Hatao, and she decided to seek a fresh mandate even before the Lok Sabha completed its stipulated term. In fact, this is the first election in which the Lok Sabha had not completed its first, it had not completed the 5 years. Now, by the time the fifth Lok Sabha elections were held, the chief election commissioner was Mr. S.P. Sen Verma. And these elections were held from 1st to 10th of March, 1971. Mrs. Gandhi emerged as the undisputed leader. She had 43.68% of the popular vote, and she got 352 seats. The old guard of the Congress and the BJP performed poorly, but the communist parties and their allies, the All India Forward Bloc and the RSP, they improved and they got a left bloc of 53 members. Now, in an incisive analysis of the 71 elections, the American political scientist Myron Weiner wrote that this was the first election which was fought on national issues, and the mode of campaign adopted by Mrs. Gandhi was presidential. So it was the beginning of the presidential elections in the country. She appealed to voters to ratify her decisions regarding bank nationalization and the abolition of privy purses. And votes are being cast for her and not for the local MP, as is happening today. And the old guard of the Congress was still stuck to its old ways of fighting elections based on the patronage politics of the local MLA and the local MP, but that had lost flavor. The second major difference in the 71 elections was the growing significance of regional parties. Now, in 8 of the 18 large states, the regional party, whether it was the DMK in Tamil Nadu or the Akali Dal in Punjab, they received the highest or the second highest votes. Now, this also ensured that regional concerns got prioritized in national politics. And the third and perhaps the most significant implication was that this was the year when Mrs. Gandhi took the decision, and there was a fair consensus on this, that parliamentary constituencies had to be frozen for 25 years on the basis of the 1971 census. This was done to ensure that the southern states, which were doing well in the family planning and the family welfare program, would not be penalized because of fewer growth in numbers. Now, this was a decision which was incorporated into law during the 42nd constitutional amendment, which happened during the emergency. Now, after the completion of 25 years, the boundaries of constituencies were altered in 2001 based on the populations amongst parliamentary and assembly seats without affecting the state-wise distribution. That is, there could be an internal reorganization of seats in Tamil Nadu and in Bengal and in UP, but the overall number of seats in Tamil Nadu and in Maharashtra and in UP and in Punjab would remain the same. Now, this was extended for another 25 years. So, till 26, our constituencies are frozen. And now we are looking to the census that will be held after this election to see what turn the delimitation of constituencies takes place. Meanwhile, what happened in 1975 was that Allahabad High Court disqualified Mrs. Gandhi from a constituency due to an electoral malpractice. This led to a sequence of events which culminated in the imposition of emergency. And the five-year term of the Lok Sabha was extended two times, 1 year at a time, which was an unprecedented and highly questionable move. However, before the completion of the second one-year extension, elections were announced and the Congress was trounced for the first time in the history of the Republic.